Hi, I'm sitting with Sam Bazzoni, a consultant chef. Sam has worked in the hospitality industry in the last 16 years now. Sam has worked with some high-profile chefs such as Neil Perry, Jack LaMond, and Jeff Linton. Sam has worked, managed, operated, and consulted with several hospitality venues, for several cafes and restaurants. And currently working with Cafe Heidi at the Museum of Modern Art. Sam, thank you for coming, for being here today.
No, thanks, Mark, for having me. I really appreciate that.
No worries. So today we're going to talk about how do you market yourself as a chef? What are the key things that you do, to put yourself out there, not just the business, because a lot of restaurants, they focus, if they do marketing,
yeah,
they focus so much on marketing the business, but then they forget to market themselves. So can we talk a little bit more about that? How do you market yourself as a chef?
Well, to market, I mean, this day and age, there's a lot of competition with heaps of celebrity chefs. The market is huge for food. So to market yourself as a chef is quite a hard thing. You gotta have confidence in yourself. If you need to be on social media. Social media is a big part of it. And you need to think outside the box. You can't always just be doing the same things day in and day out and expect people to notice you. You really need to push the limits, not be scared, and really put yourself out there. For instance, 21 years old when I started being my first head chef role, and a lot of people said to me, oh yeah, but you're so young, you just see that. I always say, like, if someone's telling you can't do something, I'm going to go and do it. Might not be the right thing, but I'll go and do it. Especially if you want to market yourself and believe in yourself, the best way is to try and, sometimes you might fail and sometimes you might succeed. But like I say, don't ever be scared to put yourself out there.
Okay. So let's talk about what are the things that you do, or, the strategies or the ways that you use to helps you to put yourself out there. I know you've been mentioned via really major publications. You're also on social media. So how do you go about that? What's the key things that you do?
I mean, look, for me, it's about putting yourself out there.
Yeah.
Don't be scared to contact the Age of Good Food. Don't be scared to contact Broadsheet. Don't be scared to contact those main publications, but also from those main publications, you need to be able to take those and then attach them to your social media accounts and keep pushing it, because maybe the people that are reading the paper that day didn't see it. Maybe your followers didn't see that. So it's very important to keep the ball rolling as to, what you're doing.
Yes.
Very, very important.
So I believe, some of the key things that or the strategies that chefs can do to put themselves out there is first learn how to market yourself internally with the platforms that you have access to.
Like your phone.
Your phone, your own social media platforms, your personal social media platforms. You can even have your own personal website, not just your restaurant website. So now that you have the tools and you have a phone with a good camera, don't be shy to grab the phone and grab any opportunity at the restaurant or the cafe or the kitchen, or even you're buying produce or you have your veggie kind of batch in the back. Any opportunity, make sure you get that on camera on a daily basis. I know some chefs that hate seeing themselves on camera, but that doesn't mean people hate seeing you. actually. You'll be surprised how many people would be like, will really appreciate what this chef is doing. And you kind of create your own kind of following, plus your restaurant or cafe following.
Yeah.
You know, this is the one way to build yourself as a chef and also obviously end up growing your own business and any kind of as an external platform.
Definitely.
Additional platform. Okay, so we've discussed about the things that you can do within your own control. Now, as a chef, how would you reach out to those publications? You said don't be afraid to reach out to the Good Food Guide or to any other publication. So what do? Do you just send them an email out of nowhere? How does that work?
Look, the way that these guys work is that they want to know everything. They want to know what the news is in food. They want to know, you know, what's the latest that's going on. So if you've got something interesting, you've got something different, this is, okay, I'm going to put that together. I'm going to take a few photos and then I'm going to send it away by email. All the emails can be found on the internet. There's no one hiding. It's actually not a big process. It's just about whether you're interesting enough to write about. So think outside the box again when you're going to send away your application to these publications.
I'll bet.
Because they want to see something different, something new, but it has to be interesting as well.
Yes.
So there's got to be a story to it.
So if you do send an email, and as a chef, you might think, oh, this is interesting, and I've been a chef for the last 14 years now, and I've never gone and write up out of these publications, but I keep sending them stuff, and they never write about us.
Yeah.
There is no personal vendetta against any chef or any restaurant. It's just about maybe whatever you're sending them. Maybe it's not in their pipeline today.
No, you know, definitely. It's about whatever they're writing that
way. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, out of the 7 places that I've consulted for, you know, they've only written up only 4 of them. You know, it's just not a guarantee.
Yes.
It also depends who they're writing up that week. You know, maybe they put George Columbaris and Gary Megan in that week.
Yes.
What do they need to write about me for when they got those guys in there?
Yes, yes.
It's not about lessening yourself or anything like that, but that's just the truth of things. Like, where you're in an industry that has become very, very overrun with celebrity chefs, and that sometimes is going to take priority over what you're doing.
Yes.
You know, so maybe send it again.
Yeah.
You don't have to just send it once and, oh, they ignored me, and give up. Never give up.
Yes, yes.
Just keep going, keep going, keep going. I think before I ever got my first write-up in The Age, I probably sent it to them 4 or 5 times. And then eventually they were like, oh, hey, this time I'm doing something different. You know, and the more contact you have with them, the more you keep in touch, the more you up-to-date them on things, the more rapport, the more relationship you build with these people.
So yes, and just don't. I know we're emotional. Everybody is emotional. Everybody has some kind of this emotional
attachment to their business.
Attachment to their business. Attachment to themselves. Attachment to whatever has been going on around them. But it's at the end of the day, it's not emotional. It's you're doing this for business. I know when you're passionate, you know, and chefs usually super, super passionate, but that you also got to think in a way that how you can turn the table to your side.
Yeah.
And that way you learn you can be persistent, but not annoying.
Yes.
You know,
there is persistence and then there's
seriously
annoying people.
Yes.
You know, maybe.
So how do you know being persistent and annoying? How do you identify between those two?
Persistence and annoying. I would say, look, I don't know what's annoying to these guys. Maybe I was annoying to these guys. I've got no idea. But the way that I would say it is if you've put everything together and you've got everything for them to see and you're not hearing back from them, and you've read their write-ups and you've read, you know, their publication that week, and maybe it wasn't that, you know, maybe you thought, oh, yeah, I could be in there. Just, you know, you could just keep trying. you know, and eventually, you know, try someone else, try broadsheet. Maybe broadsheet will write about it first. If broadsheet writes about it, maybe the agent will pick it up.
Try a different agent.
Don't just keep going back to the same thing, the same thing, the same thing.
Yes.
Try something different. Try something new. You know, you don't just repeat yourself every day.
Yeah.
That's the worst thing for a shareholder. Well, dude.
The other strategy that I believe it's very strong is instead of being under the mercy of other publications, is focusing on your own platforms and investing in your own platforms and really putting yourself out there, it will make you more attractive to those publications.
And you can tag them in there.
Yeah, you can.
As you're doing it. You can
tag them. And plus they're watching. I mean, everybody is watching. You would be surprised and amazed who's watching you. But they do watch. And if they believe you're being... you're too shy. You're just interested in a write up somewhere, and you don't want to do any of the work.
Yeah.
They're usually not interested in this kind of people unless you come up with something like really super super interesting and exciting.
Yeah.
Then they can't ignore it. There's a chance. And yes, but you know, so investing in your own platforms and really putting yourself out there. Innovate with you within your own platforms. Show them that you are interesting and exciting to your people.
Yes.
Show them what kind of engagement that you get. And that way you become more likable.
That's right.
To those certain people. Yeah,
definitely.
Sam, let's talk about running a profitable kitchen. We could talk about running a profitable business, but there is 200 million things. We can talk about which we don't have time to talk about today. Yeah. So maybe let's narrow this down a little bit more and let's talk about how to run a profitable kitchen.
Yeah.
I know that you could run massive businesses, they're doing really good numbers, but usually kitchens can suck the blood out of that business.
Yeah.
So let's go a little bit more about that.
Well, look. To run a successful kitchen, you need to have a team leader. You need to have a chef that works within his kitchen. And you need to have a chef that's quite book savvy as well. He needs to be seeing the numbers. The owners really shouldn't hide their numbers from their chefs. That's something that I've learned over the years. And the chefs also need to see those things to be able to do their cost of goods and make sure that everything's matching up at the end of the week. So that, you know, they're hitting their 28% or, you know, 30%, whatever it is that your business is, you know, wanting you to achieve. most importantly though, is the wages. Wages in a kitchen, is the biggest killer. If your chef's good with his cost of goods, maybe his wages are crazy. Most kitchens these days, I think, fail because of their wages. Wages, wages, wages. Watch how many staff you have on. Knocking somebody off 1 hour or knocking two or three people off 1 hour extra every day could be the difference in 32% and 30% or 28%. It really just depends on your whole business and how it's working at the moment. It's a hard one because the chef's always concentrating on the food and, you know, it's all about the food. Everything's always about the food.
So how do you deliver quality without compromising? How do you do that?
The chef should have the skill to be able to cook anything and put it on the plate and it should be good. Not all the chef's ideas, when they come up with these ideas and they write them down, worked well money-wise. they're great ideas. Test them out on the specials board first. See how it goes. See if it sells. Don't just start throwing things on the menu. You don't have to use the best of the best extra virgin olive oil. You know, you don't have to use the best of the best Wagyu. These are things that all end up costing a lot of money.
No, it depends on your business concept.
Exactly. It depends on what you're doing. Sometimes you might be doing a cafe. People want to have burgers. Put a burger on. You know, people don't want to have a Wagyu steak in a cafe. It depends what you're doing at the time and how much your budget is.
Yeah,
it's very important for the owner too to say, okay, well, you've got $5,000 for the week, or you've got $10,000 for the week, whatever you can afford, and work together to make it work.
And what makes sense to your concept and your brand.
Exactly.
Sorry to interrupt you there, but there is a good point that I want to bring out is what celebrity chefs do is not necessarily relevant to you. Celebrity chefs do things for different reasons other than your reasons.
Yeah.
They're doing things for their own kind of reasons that will make sense to what they're doing and who they are.
Well, especially when they've got the massive following.
Yes, yes. Where you come and see, oh, I saw this celebrity chef is doing this, this, and this. I'm going to go and replicate that because most likely that's what brings them success or brings them business or brings them profit. But, you know, sometimes there's certain things they do. If you do it, it'll damage you more than it'll actually be beneficial to you. So maybe let's talk a little bit more about that. Because you mentioned about certain foods, certain things that you can do and you shouldn't be doing. But some chefs will say, oh no, this celebrity chef is cooking this kind of meat in this restaurant. I'm going to do it in my restaurant.
Yeah.
And I'm going to charge this kind of money.
Yes. The reason why those chefs are able to charge that kind of money is because they've got reputation. Without the reputation, you can't charge.
And the turnover.
Exactly. They've got the turnover as well.
Yeah.
But most importantly, you know, celebrity chefs have put steaks on the menu at $110. People are expecting that when they go there. When they come to your restaurant or just any other restaurants, they're not expecting to pay $110 for a steak for maybe somebody they don't know. And that's not to say that you're nobody or whatever, but that's the home truths.
Yeah.
You know, that's the real deal of it. You know, celebrity and reality. Not that the celebrity is not reality, but it is in business terms.
Yes, yes.
The chefs can do anything they want. They've got the money to do it. They've got the backing to do it. You may not have that within your business. You're better off doing smaller scale stuff, being creative, and trying different things instead of trying to follow what other chefs are doing, other celebrity chefs are doing. What they're doing is not necessarily a win for your business.
Yes. So you could ask yourself, the question is, okay, I like what this chef is doing. Will it make sense in my concept? Will it make sense to my business?
Or how can I do something similar on a smaller scale that makes sense for my customers?
Yes.
For my followers? What's going to bring them through to my door?
Yes. And then the other thing is, maybe it does, your customers would like it, but is it going to be profitable? Are you going to have return on investment? Are you going to have turnover? Or is it just, yes, you know your customers will absolutely love it, but at the same time, you didn't really get any benefit out of it?
Yeah.
You know?
I think sometimes too, you have to weigh up, you know, how much you're going to spend. You know, you do need to have the marketing aspect to it, and then there's, you know, what you're going to put in your pocket as well at the end of the day. So those things have got to weigh up, and they got to be equal. You might say, okay, well, maybe this month, you know, we're going to do this dinner. We might lose on this, but this is what we're getting in marketing. So it's a marketing strategy. Or, you know, you might want to focus on how can we do marketing and still make a profit from it, or at least break even. So it's very, very important that your costs are together.
Yes.
Without those, like at the end of the day, you're all there to build a business.
Yes.
Without the business side of it, you're not there. The chefs are not there. The floor staff aren't there. Nobody's there. Nobody gets paid. Your business will shut down.
Yes. Yes.
And
well, you brought out a very good point. Talking about marketing, kitchens today, I believe they should take marketing as part of a major kind of thing to be calculated as part of their kitchen expenses, because it's becoming so noisy today to talk about your business, to try to get attention or pursue customers to come to your place. So, and marketing is not cheap. No, no, if you want to do it properly, it's not going to be cheap. To be honest, it doesn't matter what business we are in. If it's a cafe or restaurant or lawyer, it doesn't matter what kind of business you are in. You are in the marketing business. If you're not marketing yourself, you're talking to yourself.
That's right.
Nobody's seeing you. You're not reaching anybody.
No one's listening.
And nobody's listening. So this is a major thing that I believe chefs should really look into it.
Definitely. This day and age, that needs to happen. Like I was saying before, you need to be able to push your limits and what you can do and show people who you are. Whether that's, you know, growing your own herb gardens and showing people, you know, hey, look, we do this. Like we do at Cafe Heidi and at Dandywine. We grow our own herbs. It's something to post about.
Yeah,
it's quite nice to see the chef snipping his own herbs and picking his own flowers, and that's something you can post about. Might be minimal.
Yeah,
something you can do.
Sam, thank you for being here today.
No worries, Mark. Thanks for having me.
No worries.